want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for making the Word of God part of your day and allowing us to spend a little bit of time together finding out what God has to say to our specific circumstances. And, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I look around and I see that there is construction going on all over the place. If you haven't been to an area for a while, if you drive down it, you say, well, where did that building come from? And one thing that all of those structures have in common is they've got to have a good foundation. And we're going to be actually talking about that today, right here on the Refresh radio program. And if you are doing some construction and you need someone to come and do your concrete work for you, I want to encourage you to call the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They have been in Brevard County for a long, long time and have decades of experience, have hard work ethic, have the expertise to get the job done. They know the connections and all of that sort of stuff. As far as the concrete companies, they're not afraid to get up early. They do everything that needs to be done. I don't know about you, but when I walk around and I see roofers and road crews and concrete people out there working in the brutal heat of the day, it makes me really appreciate that God has gifted some people with the expertise to know how to do that. And it also makes me want to pray for them. So if you need someone to come out and give you an estimate on block or concrete work, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. Today we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. We're talking about things that belong to God. Last Friday we talked about, out of Malachi chapter 3, those who fear the Lord met together and talked with one another, and God said, they shall be mine. And so if we're going to be God's people, we've got to realize that God is going to manifest his grace in the lives of every believer. The sins that had a stranglehold on you may not have been the same stranglehold that, or the same sin that had a stranglehold on me. And so when you are a living testimony of what God's grace has done in your life, and I meet with you and you see what God's grace has done in my life, and I see what it's done in yours, we have a greater appreciation for God and knowing that nothing is impossible for him. And so that's what we want to encourage you to do. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. It says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So today what I want to talk to you about is the words of Jesus Christ. In my Bible, I happen to have with me here, which when people see it, they really appreciate because it has super giant print. Not that I need it to be able to read those things, but it makes it so much easier for me to find my place when I am teaching and preaching. There's fewer spots on the page that I've got to look for, and I like to make eye contact with people, so I'm constantly looking at my Bible. Even now, as I'm sitting here at the microphone, I'm not looking at the Bible itself. I'm looking at all these flashing lights and frequency indicators and timers and all of that sort of stuff. But when I go back to look at my Bible, it just is a nice, easy place to find. So in my Bible, all of the words of Jesus are in red. And Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine." So I want to talk to you first of all about information sourcing. You know, you go on online and you can see all sorts of different information, and now, you know, the social media platforms are trying to weed out information that that they deem false or something like that. Sometimes it is just flat out false information, people wanting to try and embarrass other people and stuff like that. And so they look for any compromised sources. But a lot of people have the mindset, well, everybody's got a voice. Everybody should be able to speak up. Everybody should be able to share their truth. Well, the thing is, when we're talking about the words of Jesus, we're not talking about their truth. We're talking about the truth. And so not every source gets the same level of trust in my life. Shouldn't get the same level of trust in your life. In fact, if you've been lied to over and over and over again, you know, like there are some media sources that continue to make headlines with their headlines, even though their headlines have been demonstrably false for years now. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, their credibility is very, very low. So either someone is intentionally giving them bad information and making them look bad, or they don't have enough sense to check their sources to make sure that they're, you know, that they can be verified. And in which case, they're making their own self look bad. Either way, anytime I see a headline out of certain sources, I don't put any stock in it, whether it's a good report, a bad report, or a no report. I don't put any stock in it until somebody comes along and say, "This has been verified. This is our source." We don't have to do that with Jesus. You know, when he stood trial before Pilate, Pilate said, "What is truth?" You know, here's the governor, you know, the ruling authority over Israel at that time, and he had come to the place where he was so used to people lying to him that he did not even embrace truth anymore. And so a lot of people have brought that same mindset to the Word of God. I remember back in the 70s, I was still a child, but I was able to, you know, history is my thing. And so I go back and I study history and realize that there was a crisis of trusting authority because authorities had intentionally misled the American people for a long, long time on certain issues, and credibility broke down. Well, that migrated into the church to the point that people did not trust pastors any longer. They didn't trust religious leaders any longer, and they didn't trust the Word of God any longer. And so if you start talking to someone on the street and you happen to mention, "Well, this is what the Bible says," many of those people are not going to accept that statement as a statement of authoritative fact because to them it is just another book. And again, much of that response is because they have been lied to so many times. Now, there is something here in this passage that I want to share, and that is whenever Jesus speaks, in fact, when anyone speaks, we have to have a response to it. Our response could either be we hear it, we accept it, we apply it. It could be we hear it, we accept it, we ignore it. There is another one that says we don't want to hear it, and we don't want to do it, and we don't accept it. So there's like three different things there, but there's only one right response, and when it comes to the teachings of Jesus, and that is to hear them and to do them. So, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, that is what you are doing right now. You are hearing the word of God. Now, the great thing is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we make sure that we elevate the voice of God, and we make sure that we avail ourselves of the opportunity to hear him. If you look in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and in verse number 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, they both heard. In fact, this is the end of the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been working through. And the people were sitting there, and they were hearing Jesus, and there were going to be some of the people that would go out and do the teachings of Jesus, and there were some people who would not go out and do the teachings of Jesus. But verse number 28 says, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one as having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes could tell you what the word said. They were very meticulous. They were very intentional and very slow. They were scribes. They would take, they didn't have Books A Million and Barnes & Noble and all those type of bookstores. They had to make the scrolls, and when letter by letter, they would meticulously go through. And if you've got need something to thank God about, thank God that I wasn't one of the scribes, because my handwriting is not good. I try to write too fast, and it becomes, a lot harder to discern at that point in time. So the scribes, they would taught. Now this is what this letter, where it is and stuff like that. They could teach them theoretically. Jesus taught them authoritatively, because not only did he know the word, John identifies him, the Gospel of John chapter 1 identifies him as the word, and the word is living. He understands not only what the scripture says, he understands the intent, the meaning. He said, look, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill it. He came to elevate the standard. And so there are many people who believe that because of what Jesus says. Now, please understand, he came to do what we could not do, and he did it. But because of that, we are his people. We are his people. And he expects that his disciples, he says, you are my disciples if you do what I command you. And so how we receive the word of God is very important. First of all, we have to receive it as a word of authority. We also have to accept it as the words of Jesus, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need that word. It is fulfilling a need that we have in our life. One of the things that I learned probably 15 years ago, I didn't set out to learn it, I just kind of did, and that is your hearing impacts your speech. If you do not hear well, it is going to impact your speech. You won't notice it, but it happens. I knew of a person who was losing their hearing, and you could tell because their speech changed. A lot of times people who have become hard of hearing, they will speak louder because they're speaking to the point where they can hear their own voice, not necessarily at the level that everybody else hears. And so I was in a meeting one time, and I've gone from a very quiet person to a sometimes kind of boisterous personality. And we walked into this very small room, and I'm just talking like I am now. I don't have headphones on or anything like here. I'm hearing my voice the same way that you're hearing my voice, just what comes out of my mouth. And my wife says, "Honey, why are you talking so loud?" Because I'm used to speaking in an auditorium, and now I was in about a 10 by 10 room, and you don't need the same volume in there. By the way, even when I was a kid and I was quiet at that point in time, I thought I was whispering, and I turned around from whispering something to the person behind me in class, and the teacher, when I turned around, was down on my level eye to eye and says, "You don't whisper very quietly." I've just kind of got that. The way that we hear affects the things that we speak. The words that we speak indicate what's going on in our heart. And hearing the word of God is not just having the words come into our ear canals and being processed and say, yeah, I've heard that. You know, I've told you sometimes I'll put on some white noise at night, something to listen to that will just cause me not to have things going through my head. When you're a pastor and someone in your church is going through something, a lot of times it's not just them that is going through it. You're going through it with them. You don't want to see them in financial hardship. You don't want to see their body afflicted. You want to pray. And so that's what happens in the middle of the night. If I wake up, is, you know, all of these people who need healing in their body and they need breakthrough in their life, and they have loved ones that are not living for God. And in this day and time, I've got a whole bunch of friends who've been going through situations with people battling coronavirus or other health issues, and they need praying for. And so I'll be praying for them in the middle of the night, which makes for a little bit of a sluggish morning. But I want to be obedient to what God is laying on my heart. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," in verse number 26, "and does not do them." So we hear the word of God as a word of authority. We hear it as the words of God. We also recognize that it is the word of truth, that it is impossible for God to lie. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that it was impossible for them to tell the truth, but I have. And you want to be around people who tell you the truth. And so a lot of times people think that those that they're serving under want to hear voices of affirmation. I can tell you as leader, I want people to speak words of truth. Words of love, but words of truth. Speak the truth in love. It can be done. It can be done. I encourage us all to do it. So we need to recognize that that is the word of truth. And we also need to receive the words of Jesus as an action plan. We're not just mindless spectators sitting there listening whenever we come to church. It is a place for the impartation of truth. It's a place that we come for impartation of wisdom. But when we get up, there should be an action that we are going to be sparked to do. And so the first action that we try and get people to do is to repent of their sins. Because sin kills you. Sin is a death style. It is not a lifestyle. We encourage them to pray. We encourage them to study the word of God, that they might hide the word of God in their heart, that they might not sin against God. So at this point in time, we're trying to teach them how not to fall back into the same trap that they were in before. And at some point in time, there's an action plan that they see that, look, I have a responsibility. This word that Jesus has brought to me is to motivate me to act in accordance with what Jesus has just spoken. So there are literally tens of thousands of churches in America that gather on a weekly basis. And a lot of times, you will find people will look at a person who's been successful in their church setting, and they say, well, I'm going to preach to my congregation the same thing that they're preaching to their congregation. And you know, I can't say that's, you know, all the time wrong, but I can tell you this. The things my congregation goes through, God has a word for them at that point in time. And so right now, I am building up faith. We're believing for healing. I've been preaching healing. I've been preaching faith. And so there's a word that God has for our congregation. So my job is not just to preach a word. My responsibility is to preach God's word for Merit Assembly of God to Merit Assembly of God at the time he wants it spoken, and that word will go forth and it will strike its mark. God's word never returns to him void. So it is always going to make its mark. We have to choose how we are going to respond. So the only difference between these two groups of people, verses 24 and 25, verse 26 and 27, is that they heard the word of God, and one of them went out and applied it, and the other did not go out and apply it. So sitting in church, hearing preaching, will not bring you success. Sitting in church, hearing the word of God, and going out and living the word of God will bring you success. So you know, the important thing is hearing and applying. Now, here's the challenge. I'll put it in a modern versus ancient context as well. We only retain a small percentage of the things that we hear. Most of the people listening to this won't be able to remember things that are talked about unless the Spirit of God quickens a word to them. So I now am to the point where I take notes to remember things that I can't afford to forget. And the more of my senses that I apply to a particular truth, the greater the capability that I'm going to have to be able to remember, to retain it, and to apply it. But if we just focus on our hearing, we're not going to remember things perfectly. Now, here's the amazing thing about ancient cultures. They remembered the word of God because they memorized it. It was instilled into them. I remember when I first moved to Florida 30-some years ago, my wife and I, we worked conflicting shifts. I worked the morning, she worked the night. We had a son, and we couldn't afford daycare, so that was the way that it worked. And so I would go back to pick her up at night, and there was this guy on the radio. I can't remember his name, but I would listen to him, and I remember one night he said this, "Yeah, I don't understand the Bible. I read through it once in college and I didn't understand it, so I just put it down." And it was like, what? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm reading through the Bible for the umpteenth time and I'm still seeing things in there that I have never had emphasized to me before. The thing about ancient cultures is from the time a child was born, they were instilling the word of God because it became part of their memory. It wasn't part of their entertainment. You know, I think many times we are looking at our kids as how we can entertain them. And I think that if we would disciple them when they're young, it would be a whole lot easier to disciple them when they're older. But everything that is just about entertaining them is at some point in time, you're going to have to say, you know what? Entertainment is a false reality, and now it's time to learn the Word of God. I am a great fan of letting children be children. I'm not wanting to deprive them of that stage. It's very important for them. I think playing sports is, you know, has been incredibly beneficial to me. Being parts of organizations was very, very important for my kids. But I think that we also need to realize that very few of them are going to make pro sports a career, but all of them have got to make a decision as to what to do with Jesus. And it is how we respond, what we do with the Word of God. How, you know, so are we receiving the teaching of Jesus as a word of authority, or are we just assuming that it's another voice with another perspective, another opinion? You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. And most people are not afraid to share their opinion. And, you know, in 2020, everybody expects that their opinion is going to be elevated to the same voice as everybody else. Doesn't matter whether they're an expert on it or not. And so that leads to a lot of disillusionment, because there are some things that I don't know how they work, but I am awfully thankful that they do. And I'm thankful that other people know how to do it. And so I say, you know, a pastor said this, and he said, pastors, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, and then get out of the way and let them do their job. I want to encourage you, surround yourself with Jesus. Surround yourself with other believers who believe the words that Jesus said, who recognize that he has a voice of, that he is the voice of authority, and then say, okay, let's do what he says. He's the only one that's come from heaven and returned to heaven, and he said, this is the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the voice of authority. Let's listen to him. Let's do what he says. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.